Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. And right now, I have a Firebird Book Award-winning author to share with you. She is Helen Winslow Black, and her award-winning book is titled Seven Blackbirds. Helen is a graduate of Mount Holyoke College, University of Chicago, and the University of Tulsa College of Law. She lives in Portland, Oregon, with her husband and five children, but I like the tagline on her website better to use as a bio. It is author, speaker, stealth bohemian, cheerfully unhinged mom of five. I love that, and I adore you, my friend. Welcome to the network, Helen.
Well, thank you so much, Pat. Thank you so much. It's a beautiful day here in Portland, Oregon. I'm watching sun shining over cedars. I've got my mug of coffee. I'm in my favorite chair. And thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, you are so welcome. It's a beautiful sunny day here in Ohio as well. So we're sharing the same sun together. Now, listen, before we begin with your book, I am sure everyone listening wants to know about this. Stealth Bohemian. Explain. Explain.
Oh, you're putting me on the spot.
I am.
Well, I don't know. I believe that I have a rather demure exterior beneath which lurks an unconventional person. So, yeah, okay. That to me is what a stealth bohemian is.
Well, then I guess we're very similar. That's probably why we get along so well, because, yeah, I think I come across as being quite formal and proper, but then there's some Looney Tunes behind the scenes. So.
We fly under the radar screen, Pat.
We do. But for those fortunate to get to know us, then they find these hidden gems, right?
That's true.
Well, I also want to congratulate you on the book win for Seven Blackbirds. I was so happy when Firebird announced that, so I hope you were too.
Well, it's a real honor, and I'm so overwhelmed to have won in five categories, and I think that's good, because the stealth bohemian in me bridles at being put into, you know, a single category. So I think that's really neat that your esteemed judges recognize that, you know, books can kind of be in more than one category.
Absolutely.
Just like we can.
Absolutely.
People.
That's right. All right. Why don't you give us a peek then, if you wouldn't mind, into your book, Seven Blackbirds.
Okay. Seven Blackbirds is the story of a woman extricating herself from an abusive relationship. And I wanted to write about this kind of story that wasn't a downer book or a victim-y book, but was really focused on the afterward, you know, because that's what really interests me. As this young woman navigates the new world, the new life that she's trying to create for herself, how does she do that? And is she going to be successful? You know, the book is, I think, 257 pages, but by page 50, I think, this gal is out the door. And then it moves forward from there.
And I think that's a great way to approach this, because, as you say, it could be very down and depressing and take forever to get there. And, you know, it is a book about transformation. So I think the reader wants to really kind of get to the point where this person is moving from the dark to the light. This was kind of an emotional journey. It's an emotional topic. What made you write about it?
You know, as we go through life, like, we accumulate stories. We accrete them like barnacles. You know, we collect stories. I heard I saw Lily Tomlin perform in Chicago in the 80s. She walked on stage. You know, she's got this kind of ditzy persona. Ooh, maybe like us, but she walked on stage and she was covered in post-it notes. And she had long sleeves on. She had post-it notes all down her sleeves, all down her pants. And she just started pulling them off and then going off on a story. And that's us, Pat. You know, we're covered in invisible post-it notes. All of us are. We're full of stories. And some stories just really need to be told. And personally, I guess I'm biased because I'm a creative artist. I think sometimes truth can be told better in fiction than in nonfiction. Mm-hmm. You know? And as for the specific inspiration, I wrote this book. I was in my 30s. I was married. I had a family. And I was in law school, and I was learning a lot about the law, about women in the law, about what the law can do and what it can't do. And I also gathered acquaintances, friends, classmates, colleagues who were active in, I don't know what you would call the domestic violence arena. Had a friend who was an advocate at the courthouse, the person who walks, men and women through the restraining order process, somebody else who worked at a DV shelter. And this person told me a statistic that it just really stuck in my mind. That it was, she said, women come back to the shelter 5 times on average before they get up the gumption, the emotional strength, the wherewithal to leave an abusive partner. And that really stuck with me. And like I said, I just think fiction sometimes tells the truth better than nonfiction.
Mm-hmm. That's a stunning statistic.
Yeah, I know. And there are so many more horrible statistics.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
I have readers who say to me, I know this woman. My gosh, I know this woman. This is my, fill in the blank, sister, cousin, roommate, friend from work. But then there are other gals who come up to me and say, I just can't believe that she let herself get into that situation, mm-hmm. And I'm writing for both of these kinds of people.
Right.
For both of them.
And something you do extremely well, not only in this book, but just in general, is the use of humor. And so I think the humor that you bring into this book also really helps people read it, get through it, and understand. Let's talk about how and why you use humor in it.
That's a good idea because, I resist, like I was talking about, resisting categorization. I don't see any problem writing a book that is both serious and funny. And I think that's life. Life is serious and it's also humorous. And if you want to portray something that's real, you have to have both in it. I mean, maybe that's just the way I write. Like, you can be on the phone with your best friend and her mother just went to the hospice and your guys are sitting there crying on the phone and like your six-year-old walks into the kitchen wearing swim goggles and a gladiator armband and a plastic funnel on her head and, says something that cracks you up. And then you're laughing. And in order to be realistic, this woman's story has to be not just plodding through the paces, but it has to be funny as well. I think we go to novels for entertainment, but also to broaden our experience and, I don't know, if you say find answers, I'm not sure if that's the right phrase, but I don't think there's anything wrong with having a book that is both entertaining and broadens your experience. Maybe it's a little bit intellectual. Maybe there's a little bit of, thoughtfulness and philosophy in it. And I think readers want that. Mm-hmm. They don't want just one or the other. So that's kind of my credo.
Well, funny. That's probably not that easy to do. Where do you draw the line? I'm sure it's a very sensitive art, actually.
Well, I guess, I don't know how to answer that, Pat. I guess it's just in me.
Yes.
I for some reason, when I started writing, and I discovered my inner funny bone. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just popped up. I have no idea where it came from.
Do people say to you that you're funny? I mean, have people all your life said, oh, Helen, you're so funny?
Not really. Well, making fun of me, maybe. But not really. Oh. However, after I did this book, I started going off and writing humor articles. And, people I know, oh, God, I just read it. And they're like, I'm cracking up. I didn't know you were so funny. And I'm like, well, thank you. Mm-hmm. I am.
I love that.
You can respond to life and there is so much pain in life, so many tragedies, so many sad things that happen, and it's all mixed in there together. You can either spend your whole time crying or you can try to laugh when you can. And I'm firmly in the camp of, you know, laugh when you can.
Yes.
You know?
I agree. I absolutely agree. You know what else? Out of all the books that came my way, your cover was very simple, yet it's very memorable. It stuck with me. I was just in love with the cover. Tell me a little about the cover art. How did that come about?
I don't even know where I got my recommendation, but as an indie author, yay, indie authors.
Go, you know, indie authors.
I did this all myself. And somebody told me about a graphic designer, and I went to her, and I can't even remember her name. But it's very interesting because I'm like, how in the world can you do like a cover that like represents the whole book? And what she came up with, I thought it was very, very striking as well. Now, I did have somebody, a highly placed public relations executive, who told me, oh, well, you know, this is really a humor book and the cover's too dark. But then, you know, she was kind of overruled because a lot of other people are like, no, no, I love the cover.
Yeah.
So thank you for agreeing with me and them that there's a silhouette of the blackbirds in that black part, which is a little subtle. I like that.
Yeah.
There'll be another one to join it soon. Ask me about my sequel.
I was just going to ask you. All right, who's interviewing who here? It's like a one-woman interview. You're funny, Helen.
Stick with me, kid.
So, Helen, tell us about what's coming next.
Well, I left Seven Blackbirds open-ended, and I'm glad I did that. Well, that's life, right?
Right.
I left it open-ended because I didn't know what, if anything, I was going to want to do with this protagonist. But I have developed quite a fondness for her, and I've decided to take her further. And so there is a sequel that's pretty close to the finish line. The title of the next book is Singing in a Lost Voice, which is, as you may notice, the last sentence of the first book. So I can't do that again for the third, but because it'll be too cutesy. But it was really the title that I wanted, and it takes the protagonist and her family and her extended family through, I don't know, 15 or 20 more years of the ups and downs of family life. And I'm good at both the ups and the downs, so I keep going with that. But it really is a book that's focused on sisters, mother-daughter relationships. It's really a book about the relationships between women in a family, multiple generations. It takes a couple real sharp left turns right out of the gate, which I can't give away, and then it goes on from there. And I love all these people. I just feel so much warmth and compassion and love for these people. They like live in my head. They live in my head. I have this little alternative universe that I walk around with during the day, and maybe that's why I can never find my glasses when I need them. But I just, they're so real to me, and I've grown quite fond of them. I think you'll like them too.
Oh, your head people.
Yeah. Yes. We've got a lot of the same characters as in the first book, and then a whole raft of new ones. And it's such a beautiful story about mothers and daughters and sisters. And I'm just really loving it.
Oh, I can't wait to read that. Singing in a Lost Voice.
Thank
it's
you.
A beautiful, beautiful title as well. So we can look forward to that. All right. Is there anything then, as we begin to wrap up, anything we missed that you wanted to highlight today?
I do have a website.
Yep, let's share all the contact. Yeah, share it all.
Details with and actually on the website you can sample some of my humor writing, because every once in a while I write a humor article and I post it under the banner Mother's Day Out, and so I've got those up there too, and information about buying the book and all that kind of stuff.
All right, well, share the website and any other place. Give us all the contact information you would like.
It's my name, actually. It's just my name, so that's pretty easy. It's HelenWinslowBlack.com. You can get my book on Amazon, but if you support indie authors, you can also mail me a check, and I'll tenderly wrap and autograph a copy just for you and mail it. You can get the information on my website. But the book is available on Amazon as a paperback, as Kindle, and upcoming as an audiobook, which I'm having so much fun narrating.
Yeah, you're going to be very inspirational. Helen is actually, as she just mentioned, narrating her own audiobooks. Just so special. Nobody else could have done such justice to and for the book. So I'm proud of you for taking that step and doing it. I hope other authors can do the same. You know, you're a special person. When sometimes people come into your life, it seems random, but I just feel so happy that I've met you and that you and I have been able to work together. So, yeah, you're a special new friend of mine.
It takes one to know one, Pat. When we first spoke on the phone after I won the Firebird Award, I felt like I already knew you.
Well, it's a couple stealth bohemians found each other.
Right.
Well, listen, my friend, I'm so thankful for you today. Thank you for sharing your book. So everyone needs to head over to the website, Helen Winslow Black, Seven Blackbirds. You will be so happy you got a copy of this book. Helen, thank you for today. Thank you for being who you are.
Well, thank you so much, Pat. I really appreciate your having me on your show.